A quick note for our listeners. This Radio Parkies presentation is sponsored by YOPN Network and includes people who have been living with Parkinson's for quite some time. The vocal challenges that you hear are due to the progression of this disease as well as deep brain stimulation surgeries. And we come as we are here. Everyone has a purpose and a contribution, and everyone is welcome. Thank you for listening.
You are unique, active, determined, resilient. You are not your diagnosis, and you are not alone. This is Young Onset Parkinson's Network. We believe young onset Parkinson's disease does not define you. You define it. We are a safe place to learn, connect, and engage within a supportive community that actually gets it, because we've got it too. Welcome to Young Onset Parkinson's Network. Living well starts here.
Just an average guy. Nobody special. Yet this disease chose me. Sometimes I think, why me? But then I think, why not me? Every day is a battle, a fight. I try to endure, to strive, to overcome, one step at a time. But it's dragging me away, piece by piece. First, my identity, and now my body.
We'll be back with the interview of John Collin right after Thunderstruck by AC/DC.
today in the Radio Parkey studio. We have a man who has been diagnosed with Parkinson's and does not take this lightly. He refuses to be slowed by it. He and his partner split their time between North Carolina and Florida. And he has a movie coming out soon, which will show how inspiring his work is. He's a powerlifting champion and an absolute beast. Welcome, John Cullen.
Good morning, John. It's Mike and Heather from the Young Athlete Boxing Network. How are you today, John?
Good morning. Thank you. I'm great. Thank you for having me today. I really appreciate you taking the time to talk about this wonderful movie. Thank you.
Are you trying to smear my mascara already? You were just playing a clip before we started talking, and I'm trying not to look like Alice Cooper over here.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't be crying at that part right there. That's just the beginning. But within about five more minutes, you'll bet the tears were flowing.
What an incredible film.
Thank you.
What an incredible man. What a privilege it is to be here with you. Thank you for making time for us.
So I'm just happy to get the message out and get the movie out to people who have Parkinson's and inspire them to not give up and not surrender to this disease.
So, John, why did you decide to make the documentary in the first place?
The main reason was I wanted to get a message out to people who had Parkinson's to not give up and not surrender to this disease and show them that there are ways to fight back. So that was my initial goal. And the secondary goal actually was to really challenge anybody who faces a challenge in their life, not just Parkinson's, but any other challenge, to say, I'm not going to give up and I'm going to fight back until my last breath, until I can't fight any longer. So that was really the main reason to do this.
Well, how long did people follow you around for?
So we started in October of 20 during COVID, and we ended filming at about March of 21. So about 3 months on and off at different locations, my house in Asheville and then down here in Florida. And then, of course, off to the competition. So,
and the big question. Now. And the big question, how many times did you cry?
I don't know. You'd have to count it on the film, right? And that's only the ones that made it to the film. You know, part of my effort there was to make sure that I was not some Superman. You know, people needed to relate to me. And the way you relate is to be vulnerable and not be somebody who just, you know, says, I can do it all. You know, because I don't think people can relate to that. I think they can relate to somebody who's a human, who has flaws, who fails and gets back up and does it again.
That is precisely why it worked so well. In fact, that was the most powerful part for me, is that you showed the agony of defeat. And I don't want to give away the ending, but there's a particular scene at the ending that personifies everything about Parkinson's. It's an image of you. And it reminds me of Sisyphus. That's all I'll say.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to give anything
more. That closing scene.
It blew my mind that was the closing scene, because that is exactly how it feels. I feel as if I'm in wet cement or I'm in some sort of heavy armor all the time. Right now, I feel like someone's pushing me down under, like I'm Houdini trying to escape all the time. I'm trying to escape my own body. Like, I just want to get moving. Do you have the same sensation? It seems like we walk the same way, you and I.
Absolutely. Yes, I do. Every day, all day.
And I can't put my sheets on either.
Oh, you can't.
I pretend I can't. So my wife does it.
I need a wife or a partner to do that.
I have to say, my partner is wonderful. I mean, I can't imagine doing it. If you're doing it by yourself, I can't imagine that, because it's just got to be more time consuming and more frustration than anything else.
Can you tell us a little bit more about her?
Sure. Patty and I have been together for 14 years, and I don't really know why she's the way she is, but she basically takes everything in stride. Everything that comes along, she basically picks up and carries on without complaint. I think, you know, we talk about mindset for people who have Parkinson's. Patty has the mindset that she's going to help and she's going to be there no matter what, day in and day out. And I think she has that mindset, which is different than my mindset, but they combine to make me fantastic.
Beautiful.
We laugh. Many times we laugh at what's going on. You know, she'll dress me, she'll help me get dressed, and we'll just laugh.
Yeah.
Which I think diffuses the weight of the situation.
Yeah, for sure. Like my kids used to tease me, Mom, you better be nice to us, because we're going to be changing your clothes soon enough. And I'm like, oh, I'm hoping to pay somebody to do that. But if you have to, I guess I'd better switch things around. So you've been together 14 years, and she's been working also?
She just stopped working last year.
Great.
And that makes it, obviously her full-time job is now taking care of me.
That would
she
be
doesn't see it that way, which is amazing.
Aww. And you've been to so many competitions. What was your most recent?
The last competition I did was the one for the movie. I've been, this year's been a little rugged for me. I tore my Achilles in March, and that took me out 10 weeks, and then I hurt my knee coming back. So this year has been a struggle. I plan on doing that same competition next February with my daughter. She just, as she saw the movie and decided she wanted to powerlift too. So she's going to be powerlifting with me next February.
I think it's going to hit the Pakistan population pretty hard about weightlifting. The problem I see with that, though, a lot of people may just start lifting without really getting a good trainer doing the right form. As you probably know well, form is everything with weightlifting.
Agree.
What can you tell people out there who want to start lifting weights up their muscles?
I think the first thing I would do, obviously, as you always hear, is to consult your doctor to make sure everything's good to go there. And then I think I would seek out a gymnasium that had free weights and visit with that gymnasium and talk to them about what your objectives are and what your goals are. And then start to lift. And, you know, I lift heavy weight, but it's all relative. I mean, if somebody can lift 10 pounds, it might be heavy for them to do that and start out light and don't kill yourself at the beginning. But I think you need some professional help to get started.
Specifically, someone who understands Parkinson's. Do your trainers have specific training in Parkinson's, or any physical therapists you work with or physiologists you work with who know Parkinson's really well?
So yeah, my trainer is schooled himself in Parkinson's. He's since he took me on in November of 2019, he's made it his objective to understand the triggers, to understand how to train me to relieve the symptoms of Parkinson's. So he's really gone the extra mile, in my opinion, to educate himself. So that's been wonderful. My physical therapist also is. She treats other patients with Parkinson's, so she has the knowledge also.
I love the way your partner came across. She came across very caring. She made my wife cry. She made me cry. How'd you guys meet?
I used to, before I retired, I owned a technology company in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. And quite honestly, she worked there with me, and we just... first became friends and then just started dating and just, you know, fell in love.
Well, she came across as a great life partner. It's hard to find people like that.
Well, the comment that you made earlier that she doesn't see Parkinson's when she looks at me, she sees the man she loves. I think that's heartwarming and it's true. She doesn't see me as having Parkinson's. As a matter of fact, I'll ask her, I'll say, am I moving slow today? She goes, she'll go, I'm not really sure because I don't track on a daily basis how you're moving.
I noticed that caregivers have a pretty high percentage of burnout, but as you say, she doesn't look at it that way. She's able to sort of compartmentalize and separate the disease and its symptoms and the side effects of the meds from the person, which is imperative if you want to be close to someone with Parkinson's, in my opinion. So my question would be then, who supports her when she needs a little bit of rest?
You know, it's interesting. She hasn't, at this point, sought out those groups. I think where she's really starting to get her stride is talking about her care partner role, and that really seems to help her. So we've been trying to get her more exposed publicly, and that seems to really help her get the support she needs.
Like, excuse me, Connie Finney.
Sure, yeah.
Davis Finney's wife.
Sure. Yeah.
I really feel that it was, for me, just... I'm sorry, I'm getting a little emotional. I'm going to try to calm down for a second. You are all of us, and we are you. It was the most relatable film that I've seen, besides the work of Anders, who's my friend in Norway, who did A Mountain at My Gate with me. And that was a little tiny blip. Your film is like, wow, like I wanted to show it to everyone that I know, because it explains so much in the silent parts. You do this little thing right before you lift. Can you talk about that? You take like a breath and you make a little noise. Tell me about that.
It raises hands.
Yeah. Tell me about how you set yourself up to do that lift.
So that what I'm doing is I'm preparing for the lift. And the reason I raise my arms is to get as much air in my lungs as possible and get that brace before I go down. If you lean over and try to take a deep breath, you can't get the breath you need. But if you and then go down, you've had this big bubble that's going to protect you, and that's what I'm doing when I lift like that.
They often use prompts in our training. Like, for example, I do motivation, and the prompt is like, you kind of grab and you make a sound. You say, you know, grab or this or some mm-hmm. kind of sound, and that helps too. And I kind of saw you doing that a little bit too. Does that help you, the sound prompts?
Oh yeah, definitely. It certainly does. Great. It makes me more mindful of the activity that I'm doing. Anything I can do to be mindful is good in my speech or in my movements. It makes it easier.
Staying right here, right now.
Present, correct.
Hard.
Yeah, no doubt. There's no doubt.
Especially when you're in pain and you want to leave your body. How do you stay present when you're in so much pain?
I'm not sure it's always easy to stay present. I mean, I do the best I can as long as I can. And then if I break down, I break down and I don't chastise myself for those times when I'm not able to carry the load. Can I back up on one thing though, Heather? I want you to share that movie anytime you want to share it with anybody you want to share it with, please.
I need to show it to a few of my family members, that's for sure. I feel that people are going to be doing that and saying, look, see, this is what I was talking about. Or look, this is the part where this happens. You don't have to be involved in extreme sports or rather, a semi-pro weightlifter to totally relate to that sort of whatever it is you want to do.
Correct. I totally agree. Yeah.
Amazing. And the music?
Great music. Great
music. And then amazing. Now, the gentleman that wrote that music is 25 years old. Incredible. The talent we found for this movie, from the writer to the director to the editor to this film.
Yeah, how phenomenal. Do you do that?
Well, it all came from a director in Canada. We became friends on Instagram and began talking. And she was the one that actually started the idea and said, you know, you've done so much and you do so much now to battle Parkinson's. We should make a movie and get it out there. So as we started that process, she's the one that brought in all the different people, the writer, the editor, the music guy. She just was able to get the right talent, and it was beautiful what these people did for the movie. It made me look really good.
What were your impression when you first saw it, finished copy?
After I stopped crying? And I was blown away, absolutely blown away. I gave them complete editorial control over the movie, so they did everything before I saw even the first rough cut.
May I ask you a question about the philosophy that you use?
Sure.
You often say that you're going to fight Parkinson's, and I wanted to ask you a little bit more about that. Sometimes I feel like when I'm fighting, I'm punching myself in the face because mm-hmm. I can't separate myself from the Parkinson's symptoms sometimes, and it's very difficult. So I try to soften and open and do all that yoga stuff, and I get really bored because I need my prefrontal cortex stimulated. But I do notice that you and I share that in common. Like, you like to do things that give you sort of like a bump of dopamine. Imagine that. So what else gives you dopamine? And why do you use that language? Just curious.
One of the things I did when I was younger is I always read books about people who were in situations where the outcome was in doubt, you know, whether they were explorers, whether they were in the military, whether they were, you know, whatever they were. And that really taught me to be somewhat not aloof, but not freak out by this pending problem that I have, namely Parkinson's. So I tend to try to approach the problem that way by saying, I'm in control, I'm going to fight, and I'm not going to let you win no matter what. And I know, I do know that Parkinson's will probably ultimately have that final blow, but until that happens, I'm not giving up.
Okay, now let's step back. You mentioned something right there that piqued my interest. You have reached a point where you're just ready to, you can fight for so long. I've been there. I've been fighting for 16 years now.
Yeah.
But I reached a point where it was over. I had that and everything else. My mother died. I lost my job. A whole bunch of different things broke down. And I broke down with it. From that, how do you prevent from that happening to you? Can we fight it for so long?
Absolutely. And I think it's what I do is if I do break down, I allow myself to have those feelings and give those feelings some voice, because it's important to process through those feelings so you're not bottled up and angry. And when I do that, it tends to relieve the situation, whatever's happening. You know, whether I'm not able to do a lift, or I'm not able to put my clothes on, I'm not able to walk downstairs or whatever, it relieves the process by just letting those feelings come.
That's what amazed me. I'm sorry. That's what amazed me. Here you are lifting 500 pounds. You have trouble buttoning your shirt. You have trouble taking your shirt off.
Yes.
And yeah, I can't.
Irony.
You see a doctor with a vest, with unbuttoned vest, unbuttoned cuffs.
Ironic, isn't it, guys? But that's the way like it is.
Nan Little wrote a book called If I Can Climb Mount Kilimanjaro, How Come I Can't Brush My Teeth? Something along those lines.
It's very ironic, isn't it, that somebody with that kind of strength can't button their shirt. So I have seen that they have those shirts that have the fake buttons with the magnetic buttons. Have you seen those? Okay. Yeah, I want to start wearing those. They're going to be awesome. Tommy Hilfiger has a whole line of adaptive
clothes.
Yes, go check it out.
He's from my hometown.
Really?
Yeah.
Go check it out.
The People's Place. It was his first store.
Adaptive clothing. Check it out.
Thank you for the tip.
Yeah. So, John, can we talk about Vince a little bit?
Yes, let's do.
How'd you meet Vince?
I started working out at the gym that Vince was a trainer at when I first moved to Florida, and I was doing my own thing, you know, trying to make it happen. It just wasn't happening. And as I said in the film, I just decided one day that I wanted to lift heavy, and Vince is the guy that knows how to lift heavy. So I went over to him and said, could you train me on lifting heavy deadlifts, heavy squats, bench press, and that kind of stuff? And he was more than willing to do that. And so we started out a couple of days a week, and we ended up with 5 days a week. And, you know, that really had made a very big difference in my Parkinson's battle.
Yeah, so your workouts are 1 hour a day, is that correct? 5 days a week, 1 hour a day?
Correct.
Good.
With Vince. And then I do other ancillary stuff like walking and, you know, stretching and those kind of things, just to kind of keep myself limber.
Well, at scene 553, at the scene 50, about 50 minutes in, you mentioned about Parkinson's, you think you've stopped all these slow progression, but Vince didn't give a shit like that. I forget the exact quote, but
then my point in that section of the movie was, first of all, I feel like when I come away from weightlifting, things are better. My voice is better. My speech is better. I can walk more upright. I don't drag my feet as much. I feel like I'm cured. I know I'm not, because if somebody looks at me, they still think I have Parkinson's, but I feel much better, and it helps me kind of keep those symptoms at bay. What I said about Vince not giving a shit was, I said that at some point we will lose the battle. It's, you know, at some point I feel like Parkinson's is going to, I hate to say it, it's going to win, right? I mean, no matter how hard we fight, it's going to take us. And that point was, Vince doesn't give a shit about that. He doesn't care. He's going to keep pushing me until the end.
So how long does that effect last after your workout? Because I find that my workouts drain my dopamine. So I'm curious, how do you get it to last?
And some of these workouts are, what do you do, Heather, as a workout?
I've been trying to do more of a HIIT workout where I'm on and off, because I found that if I went hardcore or just did like a long workout or a long hike, like an hour or more, I got really drained. Yeah. And so I rest between now.
So my workouts tend to be short, intense bursts of lifting heavy weight. So I might do, you know, 8 seconds of work on a deadlift. You know, I mean, it's so intense. It's a maximal effort. And for whatever reason, that seems to reset the dopamine as opposed to deplete it. Because the work is not, I mean, I'm not doing a lot. I'm doing maximum amount of work in this very short window, and it seems to then just flood the dopamine into my system. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. And we do have to do what works for our bodies. But I have noticed people getting really drained when they do those hardcore, like all at once workouts, like heavy hardcore, you know, they get off and they're just like done for the day.
Right. I tend to agree. That's not my objective is to try to reset myself for the day so I can move around and go. When I'm doing 5 days a week, that'll last me a couple of days into the next week.
Yeah. You also said that when you're talking with your doctor, you mentioned that you have a feeling you're falling backwards.
Yes.
I have that too. Do you know what that is? Why that happens?
I have no idea, but I can't shower. I can't wash my hair in the shower with two hands anymore. If I close my eyes.
Close your eyes. Oh.
I'm going shower backwards. I have a shower bar. Yes, I have a shower bar, so I have to use one hand now to wash my hair. But that feeling, I have no idea what it is, but it just feels like I'm falling backwards many times.
I do that when I'm out for a walk sometimes. I feel like I'm going outside. Like I stiffen up and my back goes backwards and I feel like I'm going to fall, but I don't. I hold it together, but it's an odd feeling. Sure. Very. How's your sleep quality doing these days?
My sleep quality sucks and I don't know what to do about it. I mean, it's terrible. I mean, many nights I won't even, now I'm into this habit of going to bed at 4 o'clock, you know, because I'm not tired at night. And then of course I'm dragging during the day, you know, it's just, oh, I hate this.
It's so weird.
It's a weird process. I don't know why Parkinson's does that, but you know, I find myself at 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the morning, wide awake.
Yeah. Yeah, you wake up and you're like, I know the answer to that trivia question. It was Tom Selleck. And you're like, oh, I've got to do this and that. And meanwhile, the body's way behind the mind.
Yeah,
the body's like, you think you're getting out of bed to do thing that you're having anxiety about?
How
do you get out of bed?
Yeah. Oh, it's a struggle. What can I say? You know, it's an adventure. Yeah, it's just... I try to sleep near the edge of the bed, so when I roll over one time, I'm heading off the bed. A lot of times, I'll put my feet down first and, you know, slide off the bed to try to get out. And turning over in the middle of the night, forget it.
See, I had DBS. I can do that again. I couldn't do it before DBS, but I can do it now, fortunately.
You got it, too.
Didn't work for me, Mike. And a weighted blanket would be my ideal of hell.
God, no way. Can we talk about your brother now?
Yes. That hit I'm sure that hit you guys like a gut shot. Didn't expect that, did you?
No, didn't expect that at all. So what, this go on the air? You should just go on the air for everybody listening. You want to save that as a surprise.
Oh, yeah. Whatever you want to do. Whatever makes sense to talk about here, it doesn't matter.
Wait, could you say that again? I'm having a little trouble hearing.
I'm sorry. That was me. I said
that was me.
It doesn't matter what however you want to talk about it, whether you want to reveal what's going on with my brother or not. It's up to you. This isn't to talk about the movie, and people can still. It doesn't matter when they get to that point whether they know it's coming or not. It's still going to hit them. You watch the movie twice. I'm sure that hit you every time, right?
Every time.
It goes by fast for an hour and a half, doesn't it?
It sure does.
And right before yours, I had been watching the Jim Jones documentary, and I got to say, John, I like you a lot better.
Well, thank you. No idea why you were watching that. Whatever.
I like to torture myself and find things that are sort of a little shocking, see if I can overcome them, like Parkinson's, I guess. Do you think that people understand Parkinson's as a general population thing, or do you think that they have the idea that it's just a little shaking?
It's a little shaking, and it's old people. I mean, that's, yeah, people don't understand what it is.
Right. Do you try to inform them, or do you just kind of let, you know, do you ever, I don't know how to say this, but do you consider yourself an educator of sorts?
So at my gymnasium, they're very supportive of my process, and they're very supportive of the IJP, and it's just Parkinson's. And so in April, we had a workout dedicated to Parkinson's Day on April 11th. And we brought everybody in and educated them on as best we could about Parkinson's, you know. And when I have a little flyer that I hand out at different places that talk about what Parkinson's is and talks about IJP's mission statement and that kind of stuff, and I'll hand that out to people.
Right.
Because I find people don't really know what it is. They don't understand it.
So of the organizations that you've interacted with, who would you say that you do the most work with in conjunction with of the Parkinson's organizations?
So right now, oh, very interesting. The movie is starting to actually gain some traction out there with the local Parkinson's support groups. So for instance, about 10 days ago, we had a showing in Milwaukee, Wisconsin for the Milwaukee Parkinson's support group, basically a group in Milwaukee. We showed 50 people.
Nice.
Showed 50 people the movie, and the state agency was there viewing it, and they want to basically now take that and get it out to all the support groups in the entire state of Wisconsin. So they're looking to rent a theater in Milwaukee and bring groups in October. So what I find effective is these local organizations that are supporting their Parkinson's people locally. That's where I find the most benefit and the most value for me. Next April, there's a university in Ohio that wants to do a 3-day conclave on basically, it's just Parkinson's, taking all their different disciplines like physical therapy, nutrition, those different schools at the university, and actually having them develop a project for Parkinson's and presenting it as a class study. So I have that in April. I have the Wisconsin group in April, but July is open for WPC.
You asked about the encouragement of the crowd, and you started crying. I started crying. Everyone around me started crying. You saw that part. How did the crowd affect you with the cheers going on and your name being yelled out? How did that affect you?
It inspired me during the lifts. And then when at the end of the competition, when they asked me what about the crowd support, I broke down because it was so positive. It was so alive. It was so much focused on me. Every time I went up there, they would announce Parkinson's. They would announce that I had it and that they should cheer me on. And people just went nuts for me. It was crazy. It was very humbling. And obviously I broke down because I was just very touched by their support.
Did you notice that during that part, your face and your movements, you looked like you were 10 years ago, probably looked. You looked very comfortable, and no symptoms of Parkinson's were showing at that point.
Yeah, no doubt, right? That was during the competition, so everything I was doing was max effort, so it was really resetting everything. I felt very good during that competition. I at times, I didn't even feel like I had Parkinson's, honestly. I felt like I was just a guy there lifting.
What are they trying to say? Thoughts are just coming and going very fast for me right now. You have to deal with that?
Yeah.
All the time.
ADD.
ADD. You get all the symptoms of everything.
Now, what are your plans to do with the documentary now? Do you plan on selling it to Netflix, anything like that?
My plan is not financial. It's not a financial goal. What I want to do is there's 1 million people in the United States that have Parkinson's. There's 10 million worldwide. I'd like to get to as many of those as possible and say, that have them see the movie and have them experience what you guys have experienced, which is the motivation, the connection, the desire to fight back. I want as many of those people to see it as possible. I really don't want to make money on this. We've been to we've been to 4 film festivals, and we were just accepted in Italy for a film festival. I don't really care about any of those accolades. All I care about is getting the movie in Parkinson's people's hands.
So
to the extent you can help me do that, I want to do it.
You could submit it to the WPC for the long ones.
I didn't know they had a long one. I thought it was the short one would had to be like, I think my movie is way too long.
It could be.
I think I looked at the WPC.
In fact, you could chop it up and it still stand on its own in several places.
No doubt.
No, not that you want to go in and re-edit. Editing is the hard part. Anders did all that for me. I don't even know how long that takes. But I find that when they follow you around with a camera and just provoke reactions in you without any script, that's the best.
I agree. I totally agree.
Speaking of those scripts, here we go again. Who was your favorite part of the movie, John?
My favorite part of the movie was honestly was the ending. It was so powerful and so visual and so impactful. You probably didn't even notice the scenery. It was all in winter. There were no trees. There were no leaves on the tree. What I was pulling behind me was the weight of Parkinson's, and it was all around me. And that was, you know, the visual on that ending is so beautiful. And that the way they overdubbed the guy saying, "Fight, John, fight," is just beautiful.
Oh, I love that part. I did clip that out to put on the show at the end too, by the way. I want to get people crying on the radio if it's possible.
Well, the last 2 minutes is really the best, in my opinion. Really, it's really good.
Where'd you get the idea to pull the sled up the hill with the weight on it?
That's a hill that is right near my house in Asheville, North Carolina, and I pull a sled up that hill all the time. So it was natural to just do that as part of the movie.
My father used to be so confused by that. He was a farmer. He'd say, "You lift heavy objects from one side of the room to the other, like for fun?" He's like, "I've got all this work to do, honey. Why don't you come to the..." You know, he was so confused when he's growing up. Like, what? You go inside a room? What do you find is like something you're afraid of, or maybe some fears you have about Parkinson's? And then what are you looking forward to?
I think, so what I fear most about Parkinson's is what I don't know. So for instance, I didn't realize my toes were going to curl up until I didn't know that was a part of the whole process, you know? So yeah, lovely. It makes walking beautiful. And so what scares me the most is what I don't know is coming, you know? It's like, okay, oh yeah, there you go.
No more sandals for me.
Yeah, I know. My doctor said the same thing. Got to wear shoes.
Have you tried Botox in your foot yet?
No, I have not.
We were going to get it up here and then put it down there.
Uh-huh. So your toes look young.
Right.
I have it in my throat. I'm sort of a 30-year-old now instead of a 6-year-old.
Right.
So what worries me is that. But you know what I look forward to is the challenge. I look forward to the challenge of it all. You know, I might as well, right? I have it. I can't do anything about it. I might as well embrace it as my way of pushing forward.
Do you text or do you use voice text? How are your hands with stiffness?
So I use texting, but I do use voice texting. Like I'm believe it or not, I'm writing a book and I have to dictate it. I can't write it. I can't type it.
Have you ever had any misunderstandings with texting by using voice?
Oh, no doubt, because my test is if the thing starts coming up with these weird words, then I obviously am not pronouncing my words properly. Mm-hmm. But sometimes it comes out so strange, it's not even funny.
All right, John, anything you want to close with?
No, and just never give up, never surrender, guys. I think we're all on the same page. We're going to fight. Mm-hmm. We're going down swinging.
Now, right. what is the title of the movie called again?
The title of the movie is It's Just Parkinson's.
Love it. All right, guys. So this is available to the public now. How can I get people involved to look at it?
So people who want to see the movie need to direct DM me somehow on Instagram or send me an email, jscullen99@gmail.com, and I will send them a copy of the movie so they can watch it. It's not publicly available, but I'm not holding it back. I'm trying to get it out there to as many people as possible.
I know it sounds flip to say it's just Parkinson's, and I know it's not flip because I understand the nature of the beast, but that's my mantra. IJP will show me the light. IJP is, it's just Parkinson's, is the ray of hope for me. the light in the darkness. It's what it is. Peace is missing. Lost to eternity. Stumbling. Shuffling. Stooping. More to go. You're always taking. Yet I rise knowing you will never have what you ultimately came to take. I'm still here. I'm still me.
I know I will. I don't know how, don't know when, but I know I will. I'll make it alive. I'll make it road I'm on, and that's longer than they told me. It's a load I bear, a load I bear, and it's heavier than I've carried before. I don't know how, I don't know when, but I know I. My own eyes can see this world is getting brighter. start, don't know when, but I know I will. I'll make it out alive.
when the night has come and the land is dark and the moon is the only light we'll see. No, I won't be afraid. No, I won't be afraid. Just as long as you stand by me.